thing about me, he didn't get into my politics is the only thing. Amen. Well, anyway, I appreciate you're going to kill the meeting right off the bat when you start that Ford Chevrolet war. And then if you go to mentioning your favorite football teams, that there's always going to bring a division in the meeting, especially in North Carolina. Got a lot of Panther folks down this way. I've got a son-in-law that's a Panther fan. I'm a praying the Lord will forgive him for that, but I don't know if he will or not. Amen. I had to really pray hard about letting my daughter marry him, praise God. Brother Cameron Dula, matter of fact, he's my assistant pastor, and Brother Cameron's from down around the Lenore area. But anyway, I appreciate you, preacher. I met him the only one time I've met him, I believe. Is that right, down Brother Ponders? And I'm going to tell you something. It takes courage to invite a preacher to preach. The only time you've ever heard him preach, I had an axe with me in the service. I promise you this, they don't fall asleep on you when you're swinging an axe preaching. But anyway, I preached that night over in the book of Psalms where it said, a man was famous according as he lifted up axes against the thick trees. And I said, that's some men there. The Bible said they were famous, but didn't tell their names. And I said, there's something interesting about that. And it was those who had cut down the majestic cedars of Lebanon on the mountain ranges of Syria to help build the house of God. I said, there's a lot of great Christians, a lot of great people that have labored in obscurity to help build the work of God in different places. And I said, they may not be famous in this world, but they're famous in heaven. And I'd rather be famous there anyway, amen. But I appreciate, I'm surprised. I told the preacher, I said, I have covered the entire state of North Carolina over the last 20-some years in my preaching. But Wilkesboro, North Carolina was one of the places that I didn't really know any preachers in this area. I've covered the whole state. I've got preacher friends all over the state. And I'm only an hour from here. And that was, I never could figure that out. I thought maybe God had maybe just forgot about y'all down here or something. I said, why in the world ain't you sending nobody down there to preach to them, God? I said, I've drove through there a million times going to other places to preach. And I know there has to be somebody down there that loves you. Amen. But anyway, praise the Lord. I guess this shows how close to the end we are. God's finally said, I can't end this thing out without sending them a warning. I'm like Jonah down here this week with you. Praise God to Nineveh. Amen. But I pray the Lord will help us. And y'all are trying to figure me out. I'm trying to figure you out. And it may be like the old boy. His buddy set him up on a blind date. And after he got back later that night, they asked him, said, well, how was it? He said, well, it'd have been better if I'd been blind. Amen. I hope you don't feel that way. I hope you don't feel that way after this week is through. Praise the Lord. But we'll try to be, I promise you this, if you don't like tonight, come back and we'll do something different tomorrow night. And just look for the Lord to bless us. I appreciate the Lord allowing us to be here. I saw where the preacher had posted about the meeting and on Facebook, and I try to post my meetings on there. And some folks had said some kind things about my preaching. I said, am I the one they're talking about? One brother had wrote that I was a legendary songwriter. I looked at my wife. I said, he's not talking about me. I've wrote a few songs, but legendary is not the word I would describe anything that I've done. But I appreciate that great compliment. The Lord's helped me to write a few down through the years. And I'm just a country preacher from the hills of Tennessee. But I do love the Lord, and I do want to be encouragement to God's people, and I trust that the Lord will help us to do that this week. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 14. Matthew chapter number 14, and I'm going to give you a simple thought tonight, and I won't be long before you tonight. Matthew chapter number 14, and I want to start reading down about verse number 22. Matthew chapter number 14, And verse number 22, in the context of the scripture that I'm reading tonight, the disciples are with Jesus. If you go on back up to verse 12, you'll find that John the Baptist has been put to death, and the disciples have went and got his body to bury it. And then you find that Jesus had went out to a desert place, and he and the disciples were going out there, and the multitudes found out they were going, and the multitudes followed on foot, is what the Bible said. And you know the story of the great miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Now, you got to understand the frame of mind that these disciples are in. They've went and got the body of John the Baptist. You're having a bad day as a preacher, and boy, it sure does bring a cloud over the preacher's fellowship when you've had to bury one of your friends that they've chopped his head off for preaching the truth. But here they are now, and they've come, and they've helped Jesus. Jesus has divided the loaves and fishes, and they have fed the multitude. And now in verse number 22, the Bible says this, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And Lord, we ask you tonight that you'd help us in this place, God, that we might honor you in everything that's done. Lord, I thank you for this people that's gathered here. And Lord, without your touch now, all will be in vain tonight. But God, I pray that you'd give us the liberty we need. Lord, order our words according to your will tonight. And Father, would you touch the hearts and lives of each one that's gathered here. And Lord, we'll give you praise for what you do. Thank you for what you're going to do. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen. Here in the scripture we find the scene. The disciples have just come from the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus has told them, he said, Now, fellas, he said, I want you to get in a ship and go to the other side. I'm going to go to the mountain and pray. And you find the scene as the disciples, no doubt they're tired, they're weary in mind and in body. And no doubt here they are out there in the midst of the sea. The Bible said they were out there. Matter of fact, I believe it's John's account said they were about 25 or 30 furlongs out into the sea, about a little over halfway across the sea. And the Bible said they're out there toiling. And you read here in the Word of God, there's a word that's used, boisterous. The winds were boisterous. This is the only mention of the word boisterous in the King James Bible. And that word means forcible. They were out there, and there's some powerful winds that are coming against them. The Bible said the winds were contrary to them out there on the sea. And here they are out there. No doubt they're probably feeling like, I don't think we'll ever make it to the other side. They're wondering about where Jesus is at and what he's doing. All of a sudden, the Bible said Jesus comes walking on the water unto them. A very unusual thing, something that none of us have ever experienced. But here's where it really gets interesting. After Jesus comes and approaches them on the water, they cry out for fear. and they're fearful in their hearts, and Jesus has to calm them down. He said, "Be of good cheer, it's I, be not afraid." And about that time, Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you on the water." And the Bible said Jesus just uttered one word, said, "Come." And Peter, a man like you and I tonight, did something that none of us have ever done. When Peter crawled over the side of the boat, he began to do something in the supernatural realm. Up to this point, he's just a natural man that it can only do natural things. But now, at the word of the Lord, he is now doing something supernatural because he is empowered by the word of God to do it. I thought about that. The Bible said Peter, as he's going out through there, I can imagine, I could see as they're watching him, those disciples are in the boat, and they're watching Peter. And they're probably thinking, "Man, is he crazy? What's he doing getting out of this boat?" All of a sudden, he's walking out there toward Jesus. And all of a sudden, the Bible said Peter looked, and he saw the wind boisterous. He saw the waves around him. And the Bible said Peter, beginning to sink, he cried out to the Lord, said, "Lord, save me." And the Bible said Jesus picked him up by the hand. Hallelujah to his name. I began to think about that. I was in a meeting one night. I'd been in Virginia preaching. I was coming back one night after the service, and a lot of thoughts were running through my mind about the meeting that night and some things I'd been meditating upon. And all of a sudden, there was a phrase that came into my mind that night, and I'd heard this phrase down through the years. I didn't fully know what the definition of it was, what it really meant. I knew the implication of it, but I had to look it up just to really find out what the phrase meant. And the phrase that came into my mind that night was the phrase, treading water. You ever heard somebody say, I've just been treading water? And I know what the implication of that is, but I was curious about what the real definition of that phrase, treading water, is. And I looked it up, and this is what treading water means. It means the aspect of swimming that involves a person staying in a vertical position while simply keeping their head above the surface of the water. In other words, if you're treading water, you're not really going anywhere. You're not really accomplishing anything other than keeping your head above water. I said, here's Peter, and as you look at Peter, he started out walking in a supernatural way, but before it was over, Peter was treading water. Peter was sinking into the storm that he had walked into with the Savior. I look around today, and as a pastor of 25 years, where I'm at right now, I see more Christians than not today, instead of walking on water, most of us are just treading water. There's a lot of times when it seems like we ought to be doing great things for God. We're just surviving. We're just trying to get to the next Sunday to try to be, let God help us. I begin to think about the very thought of treading water. It implies this. Treading water is a stationary process. You're not going forward and you're not going backward. You're kind of stuck in neutral. Amen. Boy, the worst place you'll ever come to in your Christian life is when nothing is moving. I don't know about you, and I know how your pastor feels. I know how every pastor feels. It's a terrible place when you get to the point that there ain't nothing moving. You're not going forward. You're not going backward. You're just kind of stuck in limbo. You're in a holding pattern. And basically what you're trying to do is keep your head above water. God never intended for us to live our lives as children of God like that. He desires that we'd be going forward. He desires that we'd be going forward with victory in our lives. I thought about, not only is it a stationary process, but what Peter went through here was a sinking process. He's sinking in a downward direction. Peter started going in a direction it's never been the will of God for any child of God to go in. Before I got saved, every step I took was a downward step toward hell before I got saved. But when Jesus saved me, He put something in me called the Holy Spirit that has an upward pull. Before I got saved, I was going on a downward track. But now, since I've been saved, that's why you can explain it like this. When you get down, you can't stay down. There's times I can't explain it. I mean, there may be trials around you, and you're down. And boy, in yourself, you don't have the ability to get you up. But there's something in you starts rising up. There's something in you that starts lifting you up. There's something in you that starts bringing you back to the place that God has for your life. I don't know about you, but I'm glad He is the picker-upper, praise God. I'm glad one of these days the Holy Spirit has such a pull, it's going to pull me out of this world. Hallelujah. When the trumpet sounds, I'm glad for that today. But when you think about treading water, you understand that it is simply a process of survival. I go a lot of places, and it's sad to say this in these days, but a lot of churches are just surviving. They're not, I mean, they need revival in the worst kind of way. To be honest with you, I go some places, you couldn't put revival in a bucket and pour it on them. I mean, they're not interested. They're in their religious form and fashion. They don't want anything out of the norm. They don't want nobody gets too stirred up or get excited about anything. We're just kind of like we want to be. Can I say to you, God intends to send revival to His people in these last days. I got to thinking, coming down here, I said, I never have started a revival on the day of a total solar eclipse in the United States of America. And I said, if any bunch ought to be right with God, it ought to be this crowd tonight after we have averted the apocalypse today. Amen. We made it to the other side. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of people drove miles and miles. I got a preacher friend in Sweetwater, Tennessee. He said people were in his church parking lot. It was dark down there today. They were in the path or pretty close to the path of it. He said there was a man there from Canada that drove all the way from Canada to just get in 2 minutes of darkness. Well, I tell you what, you ought to have been excited tonight to come here for about an hour of light. Amen. I'm telling you one thing right now. God wants to revive His people. People said, what do you think about that eclipse? Do you believe it was a sign? I know it was. In the book of Genesis, the Bible said when God created the greater light and the lesser light, one to rule the day, one to rule the night, He said He made them for signs, for seasons, for days and years. So it was a sign. You say, what was it a sign of? I don't know. You'll have to ask God. I think it's just a sign He let us know today. Matter of fact, you ought to shout on this, that God said, look at this. I'm still on the throne. And the heavens are still doing what I made them to do. Hallelujah to His name. This world may be in chaos. I mean, even in our nation, I'm talking about there's violence in the streets and there's discouragement on every hand. But God said, everybody buy you some glasses and look up here. I'm still on the throne. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, yes, praise God. I'm glad we don't have to go out of this thing just barely surviving. I'm glad we can go out of here thriving. Amen. I'm glad God can still stir and revive His people. I thought about this. I'm preaching on this subject tonight on some things to remember when you find yourself treading water. Now, I know there are some super spiritual people that have never treaded water. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're like that, you're better than Peter was. I promise you this, Peter walked on water. I ain't never done it. But Peter also knew what it was to take his eyes off the Lord and to look at his circumstance and his situation. Every time you get to looking at what's going on around you is when you'll start down. Every time you get your eyes off of Him, you get to looking at the wind, you get to looking at the waves, you get to looking at circumstances that are more powerful than you, you'll find yourself going under. But I'm glad, praise God, every time you get your eyes on Him, amen, He's the one that can pull you through in every situation. You say, preacher, what'll cause a person to want to become to the place that they're treading water? I'll give you these today. The disciples, number one, I believe Peter was treading water because he was weary in his service to God. What do you mean weary, preacher? I'm talking about physically weary. He was. He had been to the point they had went and buried the body of John the Baptist. They had went out to a desert place. They're thinking, we're going to get along with Jesus. He's going to teach us and all this and that. And next thing you know, the awfulest crowd of people showed up he'd ever seen in his life. 5,000, the Bible said. And that's not counting the women and children. And the day's wearing on and crowds are getting hungry. Ain't no place to feed them. And the disciples come and said, Jesus, you need to send this crowd away. We ain't got nothing. I mean, we can't. They're hungry with you. Jesus said, bring what you got. Brought him some loaves and fishes. And here, let me tell you something. If you don't think these disciples are wore out, they help wait tables on 5,000 people. You can feed 150 Baptists at a homecoming, and it'll just about put you in the ICU unit. Can I get an amen right there? I mean, homecoming's the worst, man. I go home and die after homecoming. I mean, it'll kill you just feeding 150 Baptists. Can you imagine waiting tables on 5,000 people? And then after it's over with, you think, boy, they're going to go rest. Jesus said, no, get in the boat, boys, and go to the other. You're going to pull night shift now. And here they are out there halfway across the water, and the winds are contrary, boisterous. Matter of fact, I believe it's maybe John's account of this or maybe Mark's account of this said that Jesus saw them toiling and rowing. And they're out there, and all of a sudden Jesus says, well, I see them old boys out there. They're tired and they're weary. I believe I'll just walk out to where they're at and check on them. Amen. I got news for you. There's going to be times that we'll all get weary in our service to God. There's going to be times you're going to get weary singing in the choir. There's going to be times you'll get weary teaching a class. There's going to be times that the man of God's going to get weary in his flesh. And boy, those are the times when it seems like you're going to go under. It seems like your head won't stay above water. But I'm glad there's a God that in the midst of all that, when I'm weak, He's strong. Amen. Whenever I can't do it, I'm glad there's a God that can do it. Amen. I'm glad when I'm out there and I can't see Him, there's never been a day His eyes have not been on me. Amen. Jesus looked down there and saw them out there, and they're weary and toiling and rowing. And the Bible said He went to where they were on the water. Hallelujah. Oh, when you become weary in the storm, you'll go to treading water. Number two, when you get to wandering and searching for answers in the storm, you'll go to treading water. Jesus walks out there. They're scared to death. He says, it is I, be not afraid. And then Peter says something that don't make sense. Jesus, what did Jesus say? It is I. Be not afraid. Then Peter said, Lord, if it's you. Let me tell you something. When you get out there and the storm's raging around you, sometimes you don't mean to, but you'll go to questioning what God's Word said. He said, that works for somebody else, but I don't know about my situation. Lord, if that's going to help me or not, I got news for Jesus, you can tell Jesus, He didn't rebuke Peter, but He gave a pretty short answer. I could imagine Jesus, He said, Lord, if it's you. I could imagine the Lord said, what do you mean if it's me? I just told you it's me. I just told you it was me. Don't you believe my word? How many times are we just like that? He'll tell us something from His word, and then we'll say, Lord, but I don't know if it's going to work in my life. Well, I can imagine He said, well, just come on out here and let me show you. Can I say to you, praise God, sometimes when we get weary and we begin treading water, it's when we begin to question even God's Word in our own life. I promise you this, that book's true. Amen. No matter how high the waves are, no matter how strong the winds are, no matter how weak your faith is, hallelujah, I'm glad His promises are true. They've never failed and they never will. Hallelujah to His name. Amen. When you're out there weary, you'll go to treading water, just barely keeping your head above water. When you get out there, you'll get to wondering, Lord, is this going to work for me? I got news for you. You're treading water. And when you get out there and you get scared out of your wits, you ever been scared? The Bible said, this is what I like about this here. Bible said when Jesus came walking on the water. Now, I've been out there on the ocean. I've been out on the big boats in the ocean at night. And I'll be honest with you, even in the days of small vessels and jet skis and that type of thing, if I saw something coming toward me on the water in the nighttime, it would alarm me. But if you're out there in the middle of a storm when they're out there, ain't no such thing as a jet ski. Ain't no such thing as anything like that. And all of a sudden, they look up and here comes something walking across the water. And the Bible said they cried out and they said it's a spirit. That's Mountain City vernacular for it's a haint. They thought it was a ghost. They said it's a spirit. They're scared, slapped to death.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
I'm glad to know y'all know what a haint is.
Yeah.
I said that one time somewhere, and they looked at me like, what is he talking about? I said, well, mountain folk could understand that. Y'all still mountain folk.
Yeah.
But they're scared out of their wits. Can I say to you, there's going to be a lot of things that are going to scare us in this life. You may be sitting here tonight and a doctor's report that you're anticipating has got you scared out of your wits. There may be some situation you say, preacher, I don't know if my job's going to hold out, and it's got you scared out of your wits. Oh, there's going to come time when we're like that. But you see, the reason they're scared is Jesus is coming at them in a way that he has never come to them before. We're used to seeing him in the way we're used to seeing him. And when he shows up in a different way, sometimes it scares us to death. I think that's what's happened to most of our churches. We're expecting him to come on our terms. We're expecting him to show up on our terms. Lord, please don't come in a way we ain't expecting it, because it's liable to scare this whole crowd to death. Amen. But can I say to you, just let him come, is all I can say. In the middle of the night when the winds are blowing and I'm about to go under, praise God, just let him show up. Hallelujah! And you'll learn something about him, praise God. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say about when you're out there and you're treading water? I'll give you these three things that happened to Peter, and I'm done tonight. Number one, Peter received a touch from the Lord in the storm. Now, if you look at this story, Peter has now gotten out of the boat. He's walked out on the water, and he got out there getting ready to go under. And Peter prayed a prayer that all of us at some point in time in our life have prayed, Lord, save me.
Amen.
Now, Peter wasn't praying that because he needed to be saved. He was already saved, but he did need to be saved in his storm. Let me tell you something right now. And you know what Jesus did? The same thing he does when somebody else prays, Lord, save me.
Yeah.
We was at church yesterday, and I was telling the preacher, we had one of them meetings that just comes out of left field, man. It's like a Holy Ghost freight train came through and blindsided the preacher and everybody else. I'll be honest with you. I looked at one of the men after church. I said, man, I didn't see that coming. Did you? We got in there, and I mean, just normal routine service. We're having our choirs are singing. And on our last choir song, all of a sudden, it's like God just opened up the roof and the Holy Ghost just fell down in the building. People started coming to the altar. And man, I mean, the next thing I know, the altars are filled up. And I said, well, I am smart enough to know this. I've been 25 years as a pastor, and I am smart enough to know when the Holy Ghost starts moving, I just need to get out of his way. And matter of fact, I need to fan the flames if I can.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And I stepped up. I said, I started giving an invitation. I said, some of y'all got problems, burdens. I said, you need to bring them to God. And as they were singing, choir was singing, the altars filled up and people getting help. And I thought, well, maybe this is about over and we'll get through this wave and I'll preach and do my thing. And then all of a sudden, Holy Ghost said, no. You've done talked to people that's got burdens. Won't you ask if there's somebody here needs to be saved?
Yeah.
I stepped back up. I said, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give another portion of this invitation. I said, if you're here today and you don't know if you're saved or not, I said, today, you need to make sure of that. And I said, anybody here, and I had them bow their head. I said, anybody here need to be saved? There's a young teenage girl sitting in the back of the house was visiting, and she shot her hand up in the air just like this. And I gave the invitation. I said, listen, if you need to come pray for somebody that you love that's lost, come on. But I said, if you need to be saved, I looked up, and here she come, just a weeping down the aisle. And she got on this side of the altar, and she's there, and my daughter and some of the other ladies gathered around dealing with her. And all of a sudden, I heard the awfulest shouting that you've ever heard. And I looked over on the other side of the altar, and a teenage boy in our church that we've been praying for probably for the last 7-8 years, his family's been praying for him to get saved. I looked, and he's over there squalling like a baby. I'm talking about got the ugly cry going on. I'm talking about done got as lost as somebody can get. And he's a-getting in on one side of the altar. She's a-getting in over here. And they're shouting all over the house, hallelujah. I'm glad for when the Lord just shows up. I'm glad he can give us a touch in the middle of our storm. Amen. I'm here to tell you, you may be here treading water, but just know this. There's a hand that's reaching down to you tonight and wants to touch you and wants to help you in your storm. Amen. Oh, yes. Touched. Peter is the only one in this story that felt the touch of the Savior. That other crowd sitting in the boat didn't feel the touch. But they saw Peter get touched. There's been a few services I didn't feel it, but I saw somebody else getting it. And I rejoiced with them. That crowd in the boat, they probably said, great day in the morning, don't you look yonder. The Lord's done got him up. You know, now listen, if these fellows are anything akin to Baptist, they're critiquing everything Peter's doing. When he stepped out of the boat, they said, you look at that foolish thing. What in the world is he doing out there? He can't walk on water. And then all of a sudden they said, great day in the morning, he's walking on water. Some of them said, we need to bump him up to the chairman of the disciples. He's walking on water. Then all of a sudden, Peter starts sinking. One of them says, I knew it. I knew it. I knew he bit off more than he can handle. Yeah. Amen. Oh, yeah, praise God. But praise God, all of a sudden, Jesus reached out his hand. And they said, don't you look yonder. The Lord's a touching Peter. Amen. I'm glad the Lord will touch you when you find yourself treading water. Number two, not only did he get a touch from the Lord, but the Lord spoke to him when he was treading water. Now, this I want you to picture this. They're in the boat. The waves are high. The wind is blowing boisterous. And all of a sudden, the Bible said that Jesus not only grabbed him by the hand, picked him up, but he talked to him. Now, they probably couldn't hear him in the boat, what he's saying. I'm glad that when the storm's raging, sometimes the Lord will just come and have a private conversation with you in the middle of your storm. And you know, this is the only bad part of it. You know what the topic of the conversation was? It's usually the same thing the Lord talks to me about in my storms. How is it that you ain't got no faith? Let's talk about your faith. Let's talk about you. Does the Lord ever do you that way? I've got seems like sometimes the worst faith in the world. I get in a storm and I just feel like I ain't going to make it and I ain't going to, you know. And the Lord always says, boy, why are you doubting me now? I like that song you sang that. No need to doubt him now. Amen. I thought about that. Matter of fact, last night we had Brother Stacy Pierce. He came by to be with us. Brother Stacy is a great preacher, great songwriter. He sang that very song last night. So that's 2 days in a row I've heard that song sang. So two's the number of witness. I believe the Holy Ghost was on that tonight. Amen. Amen. And here they are, and Jesus is speaking in a voice that only Peter can hear. Has the Lord ever just pulled up close to you in the middle of your storm and just whispered comfort to you? I remember years ago, my family, down through the years, and a lot of times traveled and sang with me, and they don't get to do as much of that as they used to do because they've got their own families now and work, and so it's hard for them to go when I'm far off in meetings. But I'll never forget when my daughter, she was about 10, and my little boy was about 8 years old, and I had been in a string of meetings, and I was wore out. I'd been preaching several weeks in a row, traveling. pastoring a church on top of it. I have for 25 years. The people of Dyson Grove, that's been my ministry for 25 years. And they encouraged me. They helped me. They let me go to preach to people just like you. And they don't begrudge that. Matter of fact, when I go back, they'll say, "Preacher, how was the meeting this week?" They're praying for this meeting while I'm here this week. And anyway, long story short, I had come in, and I was at church on Sunday morning. I preached, and we'd had a pretty good meeting. But I was physically exhausted. Just felt like I had emptied everything out. I didn't feel like I had nothing left. And I was trying to figure out what I was going to preach that night. And my little boy, Ryan, he's 30 years old now, but he was 8 years old about that time. He came to me that morning at church, and he said, "Daddy," he said, "one of the little boys wants me to go home with him this evening. Is that okay?" And it was one of those Sundays, as a parent, it wasn't a good Sunday to do that. So I said, "No, you can't do that today." I said, "We'll have to wait till another Sunday to do that." Well, you know how eight-year-old boys really like being told no. He wasn't happy with his daddy when his daddy told him he couldn't do that. Now, he didn't backtalk me or anything like that. He was respectful. But he did not want anything to do with me the rest of the day. Matter of fact, he didn't talk to me, wouldn't talk to me. He wouldn't look at me. Oh, he loved his mother. I mean, the mother was the greatest thing in the world. But that whole day, when we got home that day, he would be walking through the house. He'd see me. He would turn his head. He wouldn't even look at me. And I was frustrated. I see you. Some of y'all got boys like that too, praise the Lord, and girls as well. But anyway, that night I was frustrated. I was thinking, "Lord, what am I going to preach tonight?" I couldn't really get a thought, and I was frustrated. It was getting close to church time, and my wife and daughter was getting ready, and you know how long it takes ladies to get ready to go to church. So I guess maybe I was a little frustrated that night, but I thought, you know, I'm going to go sit in the car and wait on them till they come out, and we'll go to church. At that time, we drove a minivan. So I went out, and it was sitting out in front of our house. I went out and got in the seat, and I'm sitting there, and I'm just overloaded. I'm overwhelmed. And I'm thinking, "Lord, I don't know what I'm going to preach tonight. I ain't got nothing left to preach. I'm empty on the inside. I've run myself to death." And all of a sudden, when I got in the car and I shut the car door, my son Ryan heard the car door shut in the house, and he thought we were leaving for church. So he comes bounding out the door. I saw him out the corner of my eye. Eight-year-old boy comes bounding out the door, and he reaches for the door handle on the van, and he looks in the van, and the only person in the van is the daddy that he's not been talking to all afternoon. And when he saw that, he took his hand off of that, and he just stuck his hands in his pockets. And he walked out behind the van, out next to the woods there, next to our house, and he was just walking out through there. And I was sitting in the van, and I was watching him in the side mirror on the van. And I'll be honest with you, that day my heart was breaking. And it was like the devil crawled in the seat beside me and said, "I want you to look at that big boy. You've been traveling all over the country trying to preach to people and tell people that the Lord's good. And your own son don't even want to talk to you. Don't even get in the van where you're at." And I'll be honest with you, I sat there and the tears streamed down my face that day. And I said, "God, you're going to have to help me. I said, God, you're going to have to help me. I said, I feel like the biggest failure it's ever been. And I said, God, you have to do something." And about that time, God did something that if he had spoken in an audible voice, it wouldn't have been any more powerful. As I was watching that little eight-year-old boy in that mirror, he seemed like he was a million miles away. And then all of a sudden, there were some words at the bottom of that mirror that caught my attention. And I began to read, "Objects in the mirror are closer than they appear." And boy, I'm going to tell you something right now. About that time, the Holy Ghost got in the vehicle with me. And I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Spirit flooded my soul. About that time, that little boy of mine would come up and jerk the door open, crying, and said, "Daddy, I'm sorry. I've been not wanting to talk to you." Said, "Daddy, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me?" I said, "You're mighty right, I'll forgive you." I said, "Get in the car. We're going to church, son. I got news for you. There's a God that's able to speak to us in the middle of our struggles. I'm glad there's a God that's got ways he can speak to us in our storm." Hallelujah.
Amen.
I thought about that. My son Ryan, I've got a lot of stories I tell about him. Matter of fact, in this message here, when I was talking about those disciples getting scared. Have you ever been really scared in your life? He went through a period of time in his life. He had his older sister. All he wanted to do was scare the wits out of her. Every time she turned around, her little mean brother was scaring the life out of her. And it got so bad, I told my wife, I said, I got to break him from that. I've got to do something to break him from that. Now, and then I devised a plan. Now, I would not advise you to do that, because sometimes plans don't go like you think they're going to go. But I said, I've got a plan. At that time, I had been preaching a message that I was preaching on Satan, on the devil. And I had, to illustrate that, I had went to one of these places. It was around Halloween time where they have these hideous-looking places. They sell all this crazy-looking stuff. And I had went in one of those, and they had this most hideous devil mask that you've ever seen in your life. I'm talking about it would scare the life out of you. And I bought that thing to take it with me and use it as an illustration in that message that I preached. And I remembered that I had that thing in my study, and I told my wife, I know what I'm going to do. I said, I'm going to go downstairs. Downstairs in the basement of our house is where our washer and dryer was at. Right next to the washer and dryer, and it was dim down there. Underneath the stairs was an empty spot in the shadows. I said, I'm going to go down there and get underneath the stairs. And I said, I want you to tell Ryan to clean his dirty clothes out of his room, bring them down, put them in the washer. And I'm going to put that devil mask on, and I'm going to hide underneath the stairs. Yeah, I did it. I did it. And I'll never forget, I was just standing there in the shadows with that hideous devil mask on, not making a sound. I hear this little 8-year-old boy coming down the stairs, and he's mumbling underneath his breath. He's mad because the last thing he wanted to do is pick his dirty clothes up and put them in the washer. And he goes over there and he raises the lid on the washer, and he's throwing his clothes in there, mumbling underneath his breath. And all of a sudden he just stopped. And out the corner of his eye, he turned and he looked underneath the stairs. That kid lost his mind. He went to running backwards, and I really believe he spoke in tongues. I really do believe he spoke in tongues. I'm talking about, it was so bad, I scared him so bad, it scared me, because I thought, he's going to have a heart attack. I said, how am I going to explain this to the police? I mean, I don't know, officer, what happened to him. His mama just told him to bring his dirty clothes downstairs. Next thing I know, he died of a heart attack right there at the washer. I mean, I finally jerked the mask off. I said, Ryan, it's me, it's me, it's me. He's still got a nervous twitch to this day, 30 years old now. He's kind of just walks around with a nervous twitch. But I promise you this, he has never scared his sister since that day. Can I tell you, I'm glad that whenever I'm treading water and I'm scared, or when I'm treading water and I need something, I'm glad there's a Savior that'll speak to me. Jesus spoke to Peter and said, let's talk about your faith now. And then last of all, I'll give you this. When you're treading water, Jesus will help you. What do you mean? How did he help Peter? Well, if you read that story, the Bible said Peter walked out there. And the Bible said after Jesus lifted him up and spoke to him, somehow or another they ended up back at the boat.
Yeah. Right.
The Bible don't tell how they got back to the boat. You might speculate, well, Jesus may have picked him up and carried him to the boat. He may have. I don't know. But this is kind of what I think may have happened. After Peter started to go under, he began to tread water. Jesus picked him up after he talked to him about his faith. I could see Jesus looking at him saying, now, Peter, I'm going to show you how to walk in a storm. And he took him by the hand. And the Bible said the storm did not stop till they got in the boat. See, Jesus could have stopped it right there, and they could have went back to the boat. But Jesus said, no, I'm going to let the storm rage, because I'm going to take you by the hand and show you how to walk in a storm. The Lord has spent a lot of days showing me how to walk in a storm. And the only way you can do it and I can do it is hand in hand with Him. But I promise you this, the Bible said when they got back to the boat, the storm, the wind ceased. And that crowd that had been in the boat watching, there's so much God on it, the Bible said they just worshiped.
Yeah.
They fell down in the boat. They said, this is the best place I know to have a worship service. Yes, let's do it right now. I got news for you. Somebody may be here tonight. You feel like you're treading water. Sometimes you feel like you're just barely keeping your head above water. I got news for you. There's a God that cares tonight. He wants to touch you this week. He wants to speak to you this week. He wants to show you something this week, and I'm glad He will. Father, we thank You for what You've done for us. I pray, God, that You'd bless in the meeting now. Lord, bless in this time of invitation. Lord, would You speak to hearts in a great way? Lord, tonight, I pray as we're getting starting on this Monday night, I pray, God, would You help us? Lord, would You meet our needs? Lord, there may be somebody here tonight that feels like that they're in the midst of boisterous winds. Lord, they may feel like the winds are contrary to them. Just seems like everything is going against them. Lord, I pray that tonight in this place, would You help us, Lord, in the time of invitation, and Lord, meet every need according to Your mercy and grace. And Lord, we'll thank You for that. Let's stand with our heads bowed, and I want to ask